Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz.
On the street, on the air.
Matekwana, Sis Gooks. I hope Wawana Dvalawode, since you're doing this whole Shivenda thing, I might as well start doing it with you. I am thoroughly enjoying this interview with Ubamfundo. Thoroughly enjoy. He is so, I don't know. It's like one of those people that you can listen to the whole day because he is so thorough in explaining everything in detail, which is so enjoyable. It's so I could actually listen to him and drive 20 and feel like I am absorbing some of the knowledge. Huh? Is it transferable like that? I hope it is because I'm enjoying this interview.
Thank you so much. Yes, the interview and conversation we had with Ubamfundo Nkuhlu, COO of Nedbank, is always refreshing. And that's essentially why I opened up the interview in saying that it's a conversation that's dear to me. Really educational, almost like a father figure taking you on a journey of understanding banking, right? That's how all our interactions have always been. And I think so refreshing that we're getting a different perspective as to what it's like to actually run a bank in a market like South Africa and the history that he also has in the industry. So thank you so much, Mubulawa, for sharing your voice note there. And of course, many of you can continue to share your voice notes. 063-688-0959. Earlier, we had a conversation with TP, Thembinkosi Phantsi, the vice chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association. And essentially, what we're learning is that independent car dealers, where you would go into a dealership and they'd have more than one brand of vehicles, are seeing a slowdown in sales and shrinking. I asked you a question earlier. Where do you go when you buy a car? Are you in the market? Have you been looking online? And are you going to the brand that you prefer to buy from? Many of you shared your thoughts on this one. Let's find out, where are you looking when you buy your car?
Hey, hello, Oskuku. Nice show. I bought my Toyota Go We Buy Cars last year, and I'm still happy with the car. Obviously, there's those little things that you need to fix, but it's not a train smash. Smaller things that you need to fix. But yeah, I'm happy with the services those guys provide, because even when you buy the car, they have an extensive report about the vehicle, what's wrong with the vehicle and what you need to fix. So yeah, I'm happy we buy cars. Even now when I'm looking for a project car, I rely on them going online and checking their websites, what I can maybe, you know, build on or, yeah, buy and fix for my own, you know, consumption or for use.
Hi, Gugu. How are you?
Good.
So when we are looking for a car, because the most recent car that we have bought is my wife's car, which is a Kia. And what I normally do is I go on Auto Trader and I look for obviously whatever car that we're looking for. Auto Trader gives me options to see what value for money am I getting, and just to, you know, gauge how much I might be spending on a particular car. And after Auto Trader, then we go to the dealership. There's nothing like a brand new car, but I won't set aside a brand new second-hand car, because we've done that for my mother as well, and we've gotten great cars, second-hand cars, but directly from the dealership. So I've never bought a car outside of a dealership. I think it's just safer. I don't know, but yeah, that's just how we have been doing things.
Thank you so much for that, Kabelo. Really interesting insights. And I think it's so refreshing that what everyone is commenting on, from Kabelo to Isaac as well, is what TP had mentioned, that South Africans, we are checking online first. By the time you walk into the dealership, and usually we know exactly what we want, full spec, full detail, you know which kind of price range you're going in, even have the power to negotiate even further, because we go in having done our homework. But share your thoughts with us. 063-688-0959. Are you in the market to buy a car? Where are you looking? Online, independent dealerships where they give you a wider array of vehicles to choose from, or do you go straight to the brand and the manufacturer of the vehicle that you want to buy? Here's Andiswa with her feedback.
Hi, Gugu. So I sold my car on WeBuy Cars. I wanted to get rid of it. I contacted them on a Tuesday. On a Friday, I signed. I was ready to let it go. 2 weeks' time, I had bought a car. I went both to the dealership and I was on the net. But the car I purchased, I first saw online. And then I saw which dealership it was from. And I went into dealership because I wanted to see the car and see that I'm happy with it. And that was that. And yeah, I didn't make another visit to the dealership. It was just to pick up my car. Oh, everything was done online, WhatsApp. Yeah. So the digital and the physical both worked for me.
Hi, Kuku. Okay, Lata, how are you? It's original home.
I love it. Tumza, you're so straight to the point. Straight to the brand. So Tumza doesn't waste time going to the original equipment manufacturers. What Andiswa said was so refreshing because it means, you know, vehicles can really be moved, purchased, sold quite quickly within a space of what, 4-6 weeks maximum. She had changed vehicles and all quite efficiently and effectively. And I think this is really telling about our behavior as South Africans, right? How it is that we prefer to buy cars, the relationship we have with certain brands, if we're sensitive to actually wanting to see the car and experience it, or if we're comfortable to just buy online, walk into the dealership and just pick up the key. But keep your voice notes coming. I think this has been such an interesting conversation. When you are in the market to buy a car, whether you have been in the past, whether you're looking now, where do you choose to go? Do you go online, WeBuyCars, Auto Trader, as we've heard earlier, or do you go to the brand that you want to buy from? Like Tumza, we let the haboyon, singing. Or do you go to the independent car dealerships where you have a wider array, maybe more scope to negotiate, maybe different vehicles to select from? 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to.
This is Kaya Biz
with Guletu Mfupi
on the street, on the air,
on Kaya 959.
Keep your voice.
Ekasinomics
on Kaya Biz.
Keep your voice notes coming because we will be sure to play them out before the end of the show. But we're shifting gears for now just to focus on Ekasinomics once more to prioritize the growth, development and advancement of entrepreneurs in South Africa. And this week, we've largely been focusing on the role of technology companies and entrepreneurs and how they continue to shift the needle in South Africa. Mbilo Tech is an African artificial intelligence business. Yep. You heard me correctly. There's AI in Africa. To tell us more about what they do, how they do it, and the key companies that they work with, including a few of the guests that we typically profile and speak to here on the show, we're joined by the Chief Executive Officer of Mbilo Tech, Denzel Phyllis. Denzel, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to have a chat to you.
I'm excited to talk to you because I can imagine when you're around the braai at the school drop-offs, maybe even at the stadium for a game, speaking to clients, everyone must look at you and say, AI in Africa? Did you bring the robots? But help us understand how artificial intelligence is essentially being adopted in South Africa and how you do that specifically at Mbilo Technologies.
Yeah, so thanks again for having me. You know, in Mbilo Tech, we are what's called a cloud-first, cloud-native, multi-cloud provider, right? So we essentially build solutions that live in the cloud. And obviously these days with AI, specifically Gen AI, you need to augment your solutions with Gen AI, with, you know, taking advantage of things, something called large language models, you know, to make you know, to obviously to become more efficient in how you do things.
Mm.
So you know, so the company, so Mbilo Tech, we, one of the things that we're really good at is digital banking. So we build digital banking solutions, right?
Yes.
We're using some of the world's best technologies for building these types of solutions.
But and on that, Denzel, maybe take us into what that entails, actually, right? We just spoke to a banking executive a moment ago. So when you say, you know, technology that enhances banking, help us understand all that, you know, creative system and technology in the background that helps us make banking so efficient.
Yeah, so we're very lucky, right? I mean, we've partnered with a company called Temenos. So Temenos is one of the biggest providers of banking software globally. They've got about 3,000 customers globally, and we are the first African partner, right, specifically on the digital banking side. So what Temenos has done is that they've built a product that almost commoditizes digital banking. I mean, to be honest with you, digital banking is digital banking. You know, whether you go to FNB, Standard Bank, Absa, making a payment is a payment. A transfer is a transfer. Adding a beneficiary is very, you know, it's the same all over. So what they've done is they've built this technology and we build on top of that. So what we've done is we say to our clients, guys, the boilerplate stuff, like I said, you know, transfers, those are the easy stuff. So let's work with our clients to say, how do we use this technology to differentiate you from the market? You know, so we don't start from, you know, the scratch. We build on top of a product, but we really help our customers become innovative, you know, to use things like AI on how to get to market faster, how to speed up, and make the customer journey that's much more simple. You know, customers today, you know, like you said earlier on about the cars, you know, people want to do things online. They don't want to have to go into a branch. I mean, I can't tell you when last I've gone into a branch to do something because my life is, everything is online, whether it's my digital banking, everything. You know, so even as a business owner, so it's important to, you know, to use the prevailing technologies like AI and large language models to make things better. So how are we using that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we generally come into a bank and say, guys, you say you want to build a retail banking business, a banking app. We take a few months to talk to you about your requirements. And, you know, we do all of this analysis, you know, talking to customers, right? And then we realize we can actually build a bot to do all of that type of stuff. So we're building a bot now, as you speak, that will allow a customer of ours, a banking customer, mm-hmm. to talk to us, to build their entire requirements without having to physically talk to us.
My goodness.
They will go in the bot. Through the bot, they will be able to build out their entire banking requirements.
Definitely.
Right?
I want to jump in because I'm so excited and intrigued by this because what you're doing is fast-tracking the level of innovation, problem-solving, and development of products and solutions for your customers in such a vast space. So what would have typically taken a year to do now could easily be done in a month or two, maybe even weeks. And what I'm so keen to understand, Denzel, especially given, you know, the adoption of technology and trying to improve this, especially in a market like South Africa, we have an economy that's really, you know, made up of a dual system, really, the formal and the informal. And driving inclusivity when it comes to technology is a big driver. I'm quite keen to understand, you know, your thoughts on this as to, you know, really using tech and a business like yours to drive inclusivity, especially within the wide spectrum of the economy. How do we do that and how do you solve for this as Mbilo Technologies? Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's actually two aspects to this, right? Mm-hmm. There's the, let's call it the consuming of tech, right? So we need to obviously get more people, like you said, more people in the townships to be using tech, you know, to make their lives easier. And there are people doing some cool stuff. Like, I'm not sure if you heard of a company called Spaza Eats, right?
Yes.
That's building tech. So we assisted them on some of their journeys. So there are people that are building tech for the informal economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something that we're passionate about in Pilot Tech is that not just for the consumption of tech, we say, guys, how do we get Africans to build the tech? Not to just be consumers, you know? So we as in Pilot Tech, we are in the forefront of building tech, right? Like I said, digital banking, something called digital engagement layer consolidation. We're doing some amazing stuff. But we're also asking ourselves, how do we get our people into tech, right? And again, to be honest with you, we can employ all graduates from universities tomorrow. We still won't have enough people, right?
And the sad
thing about it is that if we're not going to be doing something proactive about it, we will be exporting the skills, we'll be importing the skills from places like India, China. And I personally believe that we don't have to do that, right? I mean, we've got an innovative program at Mpilo Tech called Unearthing Greatness in Unexpected Places, where we literally take people that have no background in tech. I'll give you an example. We've got a couple of security guards who are now, one of them is doing digital banking. We've got a waitress, 2 years ago, she was a waitress 2 years ago, she was a waitress. Today, she's a programmer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I found, you know, I used to be a bit of a, let's call it a programming snob. I used to think, hey, you must have a university degree. You must have a degree in computer science or a degree in mathematics. And over the last 5 years or so, I realized that people just need a chance, right? Give them access to a computer, give them access to training, and people can deliver. So, I mean, over the last 5 or 6 years, we've trained probably 20 people that have had previously no access to not even using a computer. I mean, the lady that I'm talking about, the waitress, Bonnie, she was a waitress at the restaurant.
Yeah.
She, you know, she gave us service excellence. She didn't know who we are. She just was an excellent waitress. And then one day I decided to give her a job. You know, when she started, she didn't even know how to type. She just needed to know how to do a point of sale system. And today, about 2.5 years later, she's actually working on a digital banking project.
My goodness.
You know, writing code. So it's possible to do that.
You're teaching us something here as well. You know, typically we always think, I think when I first got introduced to computers, it was the usual, you know, keyboard, mouse, learn Microsoft and all the various programs. And what you're telling us now is that there's a way within which we can all be integrated into the digital evolution in technology through effective skills development. Yes, from the basics, but now it can, you know, speed up the process essentially. If you take a look at digital skills in South Africa, as you said, we can get all the graduates on board. We still won't have enough folks. But for parents, for students, even for adults who might be middle-aged, how do we upskill ourselves? How do we get involved within this ecosystem of technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's two parts to that. You know, you as an individual, you know, through things like YouTube and Udemy, you know, there's nothing, the access to knowledge is not a problem anymore. You know, we just need access to the internet. And you can do that, right? So we need people to take the advantage themselves, to say, guys, you know what, I don't have to be a waitress or a waiter or a petrol attendant for the rest of my life. Mm. Let me just make a plan to get some skills. Places like AWS, in Cape Town, they've got a walk-in center where you can literally walk in and get skilled right there. You don't even need a computer. You can do everything there. They don't have a version in Joburg, but you can access everything online. But in Cape Town, you can just literally walk in and do that, right? But then also, you know, find out, speak to people like Impilo Tech. We've got this program. We're actually moving it out of Impilo Tech and we're starting a foundation called the Alchemist Foundation, right? Mm-hmm. And we're focusing on three levels. So we're focusing on pre-tech, you know, pre-teens, getting, you know, young children into robotics. And we've got a kid. Then we're looking at high school kids. Actually, the high school kid thing is being run with my son. You know, he's in grade 11. He does Java programming.
Oh, lovely.
And he's going to start teaching other disadvantaged high school kids Java. And then we've got the program at Impilo Tech where we take people 18 and up, you know, people that either don't have a job, that's unemployed or in different fields. We give them opportunities. We train them. Nice. And then, you know, so we've got over 20 examples of people that have started out with no background. And today they can call themselves IT professionals.
Got you. This is a beautiful transition and really does speak to economic inclusion, technological inclusion as well, and the benefits for so many entrepreneurs. Denzel, I can imagine, we never know who's listening, but where can we reach you? And what kind of partnerships are you looking for? More students, employees, funding, capital, clients? What's the one thing you need and where can we find you?
Okay, first of all, you can find us at mpilo.africa. We just launched a new website a few weeks ago. So just hit us up there. But you can also hit us up on LinkedIn. Search for Impilo Technologies. What we're looking for, we are an emerging company. We're growing. We're 10 years old. But, funding is always an issue. We're trying to raise capital. We're actually, to be honest with you, in the market for an equity investor. We preferably want to look for a black female-owned company that we want to change. We're largely a male-dominated company, unfortunately. But we're trying to transform. So we're looking for investors, and we're looking for companies that need help in transition into the cloud. You know, the cloud is the way to go. And the sad thing is that in South Africa, only the cloud adoption currently is at 1%. So only the large organizations, the banks, are moving to the cloud. But
100%.
Whether you have 10 employees or 100 or 10,000, you should be moving to the cloud. And that's one of our forties. We're here to help companies move to the cloud.
Denzel, such a pleasure speaking to you. Yeah. So we'll have to wrap it there for today. But it's been amazing getting some of your feedback to understand the shifts in technology. And thank you for encouraging all of us that we all need to be part of this digital evolution. Thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That is the CEO of Mpilo Technologies joining us to give us some details into the growth of the business and, of course, the direction that it's heading to going forward. It is almost, 8 o'clock. But before we go, before Pimelo comes, we're going to play out with a few of your voice notes just to get feedback on the conversations we've had so far today. You might recall we started off a conversation earlier with TP, Thembinkosi Phantsi, the vice chairperson of the National Automobile Dealers Association, essentially trying to get an understanding of how the independent car dealer market is under threat and is actually facing shrinkage, though there is some innovation available. Sia, you shared your thoughts on this one.
Gugu, how are you, ma'am? Mina, I bought my Audi A4 from my bikers, Young Patagatle. I bought it online. Mm-hmm. And then I sold my Baki hard body to a bikers. And then we bought a Q3 from a bikers. And I think we spent about 2 months. But in that 2 months, I think we only drove it for about 2 days or 5 days.
Aibu.
And then we resell it to a bikers, but the value basically depreciating. So, and then I bought another car for my kids, the Honda. I that one. I'm enjoying it because I don't owe it, so I can do whatever with it.
What's the Guamnandi? Hey, see ya. We are trying to buy cars, eh? Yo, 3-4 times. But it tells us something, that you like the efficiency, the process, and the seamless manner within which we can actually buy cars there. We're definitely happy to continue this conversation in the days to come to see where you are buying your cars as South Africans. After that, you might recall after 7 o'clock, we had a beautiful pivot point conversation with Ubaba Mfundo Nkuhlu, the COO, Chief Operations Officer at Nedbank, who really took us on a journey of understanding the world of banking, leadership, and strategy. So, Stombe, you sent a voice note.
Evening, Sis Cook. I've been using a Nedbank for the past 6-7 years, and I've never encountered any problems. I hardly go to the branch. If I have a problem, I can just easily fix it myself because of the technology of an eye. You know, and telling Bachelor Band was Imaliako in Nedbank, Imaliako. Because Bachelor this was a buyer and a 10 rand, they already know what we draw in Nedbank.
Yabo.
That's how thoughtful they are. But sometimes, knocking a 10 rand, yako, you know, just to get by. So, like, they make it available for you.
100%. So, Stombe, always lovely hearing from you. Uputwamo mkhulu loyo. Sammy, we see your WhatsApp. Keen to learn about business and economics, that we make it easy and flawless. Lungile, we'll close out with you because we've eaten into Ospimelo's time now. But thank you for your voice notes.
Hi, Cooks. Great show as always. I enjoyed the interview with Babu Mfundo. And I caught a bit of it, so I just can't wait for the podcast to re-listen again. Yeah. Thanks for the good show. It's always informative. Thank you.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.